All right, your boy Tover Bosa. Here we are. We're on the record now. Coming in at the bonfire at Kral's. Erev Pesach for our shir, but we still got a few more days until Motzei Shabbos now. And we're going to get the recording going, start the shir. And a big hat tip to Jake for making the whole thing happen. Thank you, Jake. Thank you for all the goodies, making it happen. To everybody at Kral's for also making the bonfire. Beautiful bonfire. And we're going to do just a shorter type of shir tonight, a pre-Pesach shir. And I just wanted to highlight a few themes and go through things that I think a lot of people could tremendously benefit from hearing. So just two things. One is we sent out three documents on the Chabura chat about if you're going to give a Seder. I have a whole thing on the Eser Makos and all the different things that you could distill down from all the different English books, all the Midrashim, everything. And I've done Seder now about 8 years in a row. This will, I think, be either 8 or 9 for me. And so go check out those documents. I think they could be really helpful to you. One, like I said, was on the Eser Makos, because you can look at all these English Sfarim, and there's tons of stuff. But like, at the end of the day, what are you really going to bring to your Seder out of the Deutsch book, or out of this one, or out of Let My Nation? All that. So take a look, take a gander. There's some really good stuff there. The next thing is also just some themes to go through, something on gratitude, Mesiras Nefesh, big things. And the last one, just basics of like, don't drop the ball. Make sure you take the Ka'ara off the table when you're supposed to, all the things, because chaos can ensue and you might forget to do what you need to do. That's the third one. So anybody who's on the recording, feel free to check those out. They could be really helpful overall. But tonight, I just wanted to go through a really beautiful Gemara. And I wanted to ask a very important, I think, question to the Chevra here. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that talks about, at the end of days, what's going to happen when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to each one of our avot and says that we've sinned. Anybody remember that Gemara?
Yep.
Yeah? Uh-huh. It's a solid Gemara. And so what I want to say is the following, based on that idea, is why is it? Well, first of all, I guess we've got to start from the beginning. There are three matzot that we're going to have at our Seder. And each one, your little kids are going to come home singing Kohen Levi Yisrael. That's one shot of what they represent. But the Rokeach is going to tell us, that they represent Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So my question is, why is it that by the middle matzah, the one that represents Yitzchak, we break that matzah? What's the connection between Yachatz and Yitzchak? Why is he the one that represents the matzah that we break? This is going to be a piece that, God willing, will go live for me on Chabad.org in the upcoming days. So, sneak preview is this year. But what do you got?
I don't love being the guy saying this, but 3 out of 4 letters.
I hear you. What else? The Gemara is a little bit of a wink to the answer, if you remember the Gemara. So let's unpack the Gemara. Nice idea, Sam. I like it. Let's unpack the Gemara real well. So the Gemara in Shabbos 89b, I believe, says as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go later down the line in history and say to Avram Avinu, your bonim have sinned, or your children have sinned. Like, what should I do? And he's going to realize, like, we are not keeping Torah the way we should be. And of all people, Avraham Avinu, the Baal Chesed, is going to come and say, effectively, erase them from your book. He's going to say, just destroy them. Destroy them. Avraham Avinu is going to say, just destroy them. Which is a big, big pella. Then, apparently, seemingly not liking that answer so well, Hashem is going to go to Yaakov Avinu and say the same thing. Your children have sinned. What should I do? And Yaakov Avinu is going to say the same exact thing. He's going to say the same exact thing. Basically, let them die or wipe them out. And it's a big pella. So he goes to Yitzchak Avinu. The third is Yitzchak Avinu. And what is Yitzchak going to say? And he's the master of din over here. He's the Baal Din, right? You're going to think he's going to give you the most midas of din answer alive. What does he say? No. He comes to our aid. Yitzchak Avinu rescues us. What does he say? He says, my children and not your children, Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam, didn't they say Nasa Venishma? Didn't they, you know, say that they're going to keep all these things. And what did you say when they did? You called them your bunim, your children. And now you want to call them my children? And by the way, how much sin could they possibly have committed? And it goes through a whole entire delineation of everything. It says, first of all, you don't punish in Shemayim. You don't punish in heaven a person until they're 20. So erase all those already. Get rid of anything that happened for all Klal Yisrael from age 0 to 20. Then, how about all the times that they were sleeping? Okay, there's a lot of things that they were doing when they were sleeping, and they were not Averas. Erase all that too while you're at it. And by the way, how about all the times they were in the bathroom? They were going to the bathroom, or the times that they were involved in eating. Now, okay, I understand the Chilagasa, and I understand, you know, but Lamaisa, just the times that they were doing the right thing while eating. By the time Yitzchak Avinu was going at it with Hashem, he's just whittling it down. He gets it down to 12 and a half years. And what does he say? He says, Hashem, if you are willing to take those 12 and a half years, great. Mutaf. That's awesome. But if you won't, let it be that there's half on you and half on me. I'll take that half and you take that half. And that's Yachatz. That's the idea behind Yachatz. Yitzchak Avinu whittles down all of the Averot, all of the sins, all of the everything down. And then at the end of doing so, he says, Hashem, if you're not willing to just take those and let those go, let it be that there's half of them on me and half on you. It's with his Mesiras Nefesh, his self-sacrifice for his people, for Yitzchak Avinu's people, that he's the one, the bound one, right? The one from the Akedah, who is the one who steps up and says for us, I'm going to be the one who is self-sacrifice. So when we viscerally break the middle matzah on Pesach, at our Seder, that's what we're supposed to be thinking about. What's our Mesiras Nefesh that we're doing? What can we do to involve ourselves more in Mesiras Nefesh? And for anybody who has kids or anybody who knows about yeshiva tuition and how expensive it can be, your $15,000 per year, depending on where you send your kid to school, that is a big, big part of your Mesiras Nefesh. In fact, somebody asked Rav Lopiansky, I believe it was at Machon Yaakov during a Q&A, because he comes usually every year. Rav Lopiansky was asked, what is our Mesiras Nefesh in our generation? And he, without skipping a beat, answered, yeshiva tuition. Because it is. I mean, imagine something for every single child you're ever going to have to pay, you know, for such a high price, and say, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And what about all of the things that our self-sacrifice in this generation in a big way is financial. But in other ways, it doesn't have to be financial. Sometimes it's just getting up and doing the grind of your life. But as you watch, whether you're the one doing the breaking at the Seder or whether you're the one just watching the Baal HaSeder do it, you should be thinking, what is my Mesiras Nefesh? What can I be doing more? What can I be doing to give back to Klal Yisrael? There the marshmallow went. You'll get it back. You'll get it back, Jake. What could I be doing? Again, we're at a bonfire for everybody on the recording. What can I be doing to be a self-sacrifice Yitzchak type of Yid? And I want to put that to the Chevra. I know we're having a Geshmaka time at a bonfire, but I want you to think. I want to open yourselves up to the ideas. What can you do to be a person who is more self-sacrificing? What can you do to be a person who is involved in self-sacrifice more? Real question for the Chaver here.
Definitely more tzedakah I could
be giving. Okay, giving more tzedakah if you can. What if you're not in a financial position where you can, right? Obviously get a job, make sure everybody here has the opportunity to get a job so they can, right? Getting a job is huge, not only just for marriage, because if you don't have a job, it's going to be very hard to get married.
Trying to get a job, and you don't have the money to spend for tzedakah, then you can spend your time.
Very nice. Spend your time. Very good. That's another thing. I believe many Rosh Yeshivas said this, but I think Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz of the Jerusalem Kollel, also Eish now, has said numerous times that one of the biggest ways that you can give back is by meistering your time. Yeah. Right? It's not just, you know, I have to give 10% of my money. You should be giving 10% of your week to a higher cause, whether it's, you know, going to RJX and doing Kiruv there, Masora, Rabbi Lewis's program, or anything else, some other way, Partners in Torah, Ura, you know, Chill Zone, whatever it might be, I don't know. So yeah, that works too. But even more so than just giving back, there's a level of self-sacrifice that comes just from your day that we could tap into. So we don't have to answer it all right now, but when you watch, you're going to get 2 nights to do this, guys. When you watch Yachatz happening, tap into the power of Mesiras Nefesh and what it is to involve yourself in that and realize that you could do something special and big for the world. That's point number one. Point number two is Seder night becomes very, 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 very busy, very challenging, and very difficult. And I just want to give a backstory to what I mean by that. The major reason I now give Seder, and this will be, I think I said, 8 or 9 years of giving Seder in a row, was because of something that happened to me and my wife when we went out. I won't even say where or what town or anything about it, but you all will relate. Some of you will probably do a Seder like this year, and hopefully you won't feel the way I did. But Lamaisa, my wife and I went out for a first Seder to a very nice family. And it was a big meal, lots of people, and we didn't leave the house until 3:30 in the morning. Seder night went until 3:30 in the morning. That's not when I arrived home. That's when it ended. There was all these, you know, things you could do about the Tanai and the this and the that, and eat up and come and after. And after all was said and done, I'm like, I did not feel like I left Mitzrayim. I felt like I'm actually in it right now. I'm out. And not only that, but like, you don't get a free pass at Shacharis the following day because you went to a Seder that was awful. And if you choose the wrong Seder to go to, it could really, really upset your beginning days and follow through to your Chol HaMoed. Hopefully it doesn't really ruin your you know, splitting of the sea moment of the end days, but it could be really a disaster. So I told my wife, I pleaded with her basically, and I said, Rachel, please, if I learn how to do this really well, can I just lead Seder? She's like, yeah. So the following year, I got every Haggadah known the man that was, you know, every one of my Rebbeim's Haggadahs, all the Midrashim, all the everything, let my nation go, all the stuff. And that's why you have some resources sent to you now. Because for 8 years straight, I've been figuring out, how do I give a Seder over to just my wife? How do I give Seder over to my wife and her sister? How do I give Seder over to my wife who is now dealing with the child? And oh, you have an entire track record of like life going on. And now it's going to be, how do I give Seder to an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and my very tired wife? You know, you have a lot going for you as a Sephardi, because I more often than not, most Ashkenazim say that you have to finish the Afikoman by Chatzot, but the halacha for Sephardim that I'm aware of is that you have to finish all of your Seder by Chatzot. You're Dunsville with everything by 1:15. And that's pretty amazing, because that means, you know, you're in the zone. But like, there's no like off ramp if you're really in trouble at the Ashkenaz Seder. The off ramp at the Sephardi Seder is it's gotta be done at Chatzot. So that's crucial to know. Not saying rush it, not saying do anything, but like sometimes if you really schlep out a Seder, it can cause a person like me to never ever want to go after Seder again. So if you are the Baal HaSeder, make sure that you're very careful on timing for everybody. That's a big, big thing. Point number one.
As long as you have enough people to do a Nate's meeting.
Even still, you know what I mean? Even still.
Everybody with scheduled nap time.
You got it. But still. Point number two is that Seder night is really about tapping into, or point number three at this point, about tapping into your inner child. We say you got it to Labincha. You have to teach it over to your children. And if you don't have any other children, you have to teach it to yourself. What am I teaching to myself? I'm reading the Haggadah. I got this. Like, no, there's so much more to it. Every time we eat matzah, every time that we lean, every time that we do something, every opportunity at Seder is an opportunity for you to jump levels and levels and levels in your Avodas Hashem, in your Avodas HaKodesh, and to really tap into something beautiful. But really, you need to tap into your inner child. And the biggest thing I would say for yourself, for your children, at the end of Seder, is to just know that there's a Hashem, and that there's a Hashem that loves you, that there's a Hashem that cares about you. And we all kind of like fluff it off and laugh like, oh, of course. No, but like deep down, when the date didn't go well, when you didn't get the job that you wanted, when things fall through tremendously and profoundly all around you, it's pretty hard to think and to know deeply that there's a Hashem who loves me. But Seder night is about that. It's about jumping rungs and levels to get to a level of emunah and clarity to know that he loves me no matter what. And if you can get to that point of just tapping into your inner child, of realizing that there's a father up there and everywhere who cares about you and loves you, and you hold on to that for your entire Seder and your entire year, you will be a changed person. So yes, there's tons of stuff on the Arizal, and when I break the matzah for Yachatz, I have to think of that. But at the end of the day, if the only thing that you gave over to your children, if the only thing that you gave over to yourself is that root level, fundamental belief that there's a God, that there's a Hashem who loves you and he wants what's best for you, you succeeded at Seder. If you ate a whole lot of matzah, got indigestion, and then sang Dayenu, you didn't. If you actually felt like you tapped into something powerful, and you didn't just say, I did all of the halacha boxes, that's the game changer. So far, questions, comments, reactions?
We have a song at the end of it saying, like, yeah, we did it according to halacha. It's like,
Chasel Seder Pesach Kehel Chasel. Yeah, of course. But what's behind that, though? What's behind that is, of course I did it according to the halachas.
But how did the meaningfulness of it not, and the lessons you're supposed to learn not make it into that, like... That sounds to me like it really ought to be the most important part. Almost, I might even say more important than the halachas, which is a lot.
What I just said. I'm telling you. I appreciate that. I appreciate hearing that. No, I'll tell you like this. There are certain things that if you write them down, I mean, let's basic level. There's a reason why the oral law had a gutata that had to be wrapped in layers and levels of depth and mashalim. Because when you finally got to the level of understanding it in the way that you're meant to, even if you read it through, like, you know, the juggler and the king from Ravaron, right? From Ravaron Feldman, you read in the... there's a depth of beauty that you see versus if you just saw the lesson written out for you. You know what I mean? Meaning if the lesson was just written out for you, that's what you need to know and learn, you wouldn't get it as well. We said that there's Chachma, Bina, and Das. So you would have Chachma. You would know. That's what I'm supposed to have. This is the most important lesson. I'm supposed to know this. But you wouldn't have Bina or Das about it. And we always, the running joke is about a mugging, right? Chachma is knowing the definition of a mugging. Bina is knowing that your buddy got mugged. Das is when you get mugged. Okay? When you finally internalize the knowledge fully expressed like that, right? That's obviously a very crude surface level understanding, but that's the idea. So I think, Sam, the answer is that basic level of what needs to be known, that Hashem just loves you so deeply, I think Chazal either took it for granted that we knew that, or if they didn't, they knew that just like Agadata, so much can come out from it that through you doing all this, you'll learn that. Next is pushback, all good.
The Pesach Seder specifically is like where we give over like the sharish of everything that we are.
Which is this, yeah. I would say. For children, for sure.
Taking it for granted, I could hear. I don't love it. The idea that it should be like
a little bit
cryptic, like you need the Masorah in order to understand.
That's the piece I'm trying to say, I think so. And that's what the Baal HaSeder needs to do. He needs to literally open it up. We're going to say by the four sons. For one of the sons, you're going to have to open it up for them, right? It's not just the Haggadah itself, but you have to open up. What do I have to open up? I have to open up that idea. There's also the whole idea of ingesting emunah, right? What is matzah? Matzah is literally emunah bread, medicine bread, the Zohar says, the Arizal says. We have to really tap into what's at stake here. And if you are a halacha head, you need to put on a hashkafic head also. And if you're a hashkafic head, you'll forget the entire Seder of the Seder. And you'll just start, you know, getting into a shir. That's a problem. If you forget to remove the ka'ar from the table, you had a problem. If you didn't lean properly, You had a problem. Like, you're supposed to, you're right. You need to do all the halakhas too. And that's why we are excited that we say chesel seder pesach, right? We do everything according to the halakha. But I do think that this is so foundational and so fundamental. And maybe I am masking to the fact that it should be in there too. Maybe. But like I said, if it's just explicit in there, I think a person's going to miss something. There's a level of like, it's written in there. It's the same thing as I should lean now. Instead of like, I now deeply got it because my Abba gave it over to me. With the Masorah aspect, I think is very critical.
Really, just the complaints of somebody whose Masorah is external to family life.
I hear you. Could be. Okay, so as we go weiter, it's important to understand just the nature of Seder itself. We get bogged down in all these different themes, all these different things that we have to do. But if you didn't have a good time at Seder, something went wrong. Because especially if you're the Baal HaSeder, if you're leading Seder, and this is a shear for everybody to remember down the line, keep it in your pocket, because when you at some point you're going to lead a Seder, and you're going to have children if all's well, and you're going to be doing this, yeah? And I hope it doesn't take, you know, a person having my experience to you know, say I'm stepping up to lead the Seder now. But as a person, again, who has 8-9 years of doing this under his belt, different people at the Seder, different types of things, you're going to need to be excited. And it's not easy to get excited if you had a hard day already. Your Seder's going to start at 9 o'clock. Rabosai, practical Eitzah, eat something. Eat something before Seder. Make sure your kids are well fed. Make sure your wife in the right time when you're married. And if you are married on the recording, if you are married, you know, make sure your wife is feeling good. You know, it's very crucial because Seder night is long. It could be schlepped out. And if you're the Baal HaSeder and you're not into it, no one else is going to be into it. The most important thing to do is to be passionate and excited about the Masorah that you're giving over. It's super crucial. It's super crucial.
We're going.
And so then, hey, look at those marshmallows. How many are there? Four over there?
Four.
Look at that. There you go. There you go. Okay. So we said a few things, a few themes, and I want to tie them together. But I also, before we tie it all together and close, I want to highlight the idea of Amunah a little bit more. It's really crucial. If we think about it, the entire point of why we're having the Seder is to give over our Masorah to the next generation. By definition, that's Amunah. And so the whole thing doesn't start if you yourself aren't solid. If you don't have solid Amunah yourself, it's going to be really hard to give that over. If you struggle, work at it. There are people who love you. There are people here who can help you. And honestly, sometimes davening at the Seder table is more powerful than a Yom Kippur davening. It might be a little strange, but if you look around, sometimes you'll see every so often somebody muttering something at Seder. Why? There's an inyan that your tefillot on Seder night are more powerful than any other night of the year. I'll say that again, because it's very important. There's an inyan that your tefillot at the Seder table on Seder night are more powerful than any other tefillot that you'll ever get to utter on any other night. And I'm not a testament to this, but I'll tell you that the tefillot that I daven on my... at my Seder usually come true within that year. I've seen it. Now, I'm not crazy ambitious in asking for things that are unrealistic, but usually I can't say that I have davened a tefillah at my Seder table that hasn't happened. It's powerful. Now, I don't know if that requires being on a certain level or being into it or whatever it is, or just having lower tefillah. But Lamaisa, it's a very important inyan.
I think we need a supplemental share about keeping your tefillahs reasonable.
You got it. You got it, Sam Kramer. But I think it's crucial to understand these points. Amunah is everything. We're standing on top of other people. If you've ever read timepieces from Rabbi Lopiansky, it's his letter that he wrote to his children. Rav Lopiansky was just in town recently. He comes around. He's a humongous, massive Talmud Chacham. If you don't know who he is, shame on you. Rav Lopiansky is a humongous person. He is the definition of an Adam Shalom, I would say. In our door, he's like Moetzes Gedolei Torah level, who is still accessible to you. It's crucial. So he said in a letter that he wrote that Seder night is very, 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 chaotic, I would use. Because you have all your plans for what to say. Your children come to the table with binders and binders and binders of what they want to say. Your wife is just like, are we at Shulchan Aruch? Yeah, because I spent 3 days on this meal. You know, everybody comes at different perspective, different things, and things go nuts. So that's why I wanted to distill it down to you, to that one piece on Amuna. And it's funny to kind of say it, but like, it's everything. There's a Hashem. There's a Hashem who loves you. And there's a Hashem who is rooting for you. And if you can really believe that, even in the hardest of times, it's a game changer. And you give that over to your kids. How is one way to give it over to your kids? Make the Seder exciting. How do you make it exciting for yourself? It's not throwing ping pong balls. I'm puzzling that. Yeah? Rav Bob is puzzling the ping pong balls. Sorry, I know there's a few of you on the recording who do it. But hell, sorry guys, we know what Barad really was. If you look them in Russian, Barad was like a monstrosity-sized ball of fire and ice that slammed down onto the ground. And not only did it decimate everything in its way, but it created an inferno of fire all over the place. I'd much prefer you make a big poster. Yeah, I have an actual note in my document that I've given over to you guys here. It's in there for that one on Asamaka that my Rabbi Tab said basically that's like being the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing at the Seder. Why? Because it's almost like a zilzul to what Bard was, and you're giving over the idea to your kiddies that like I could throw ping pong balls all over the place. Like that's perfect. And if you guys go to a Seder and they do that, be dan lechav zechus. But I'm telling you. My eitz is not to do that. That is or the other people that put on the mask for darkness. Yeah, I'm gonna put on a little kitty mask. I'm sorry, that's not what darkness was.
Could you make a case that it's a really great way, especially to get children involved and excited?
Anachanami, I would say the exact opposite. The best way to get your children involved. Let's go through that. If we got time, let's go through that. First of all, it's the first document I have. That I send out to the guys on the Esther Mako. It's like a whole roadmap with the story and everything. You see that, and you get the kids involved by that. Another thing, when you get to whatever it is, make sure you're giving over the Masorah authentically. And then have a fun time to get the kids involved. I'll tell you exactly what I do. By Avdim Hayinu, we have couch cushions, okay? I have couch cushions that look kind of like brick-like, okay? This year, by Avdim Hayinu, or by other parts, what am I going to do? I'm going to take one of those couch cushions, put it on my back, and, you know, walk around my Seder table like that. Is that a little silly? Because it's obviously not a brick, for sure. But it's not a ping pong ball telling my 6-year-old that that's what hail is. You know what I mean? It shows, like, this was backbreaking labor. And they get excited, and they also do it. And they're going to walk around. By frogs, Sephardea, I literally jump out of my chair and jump around like a big frog. And depending on how old the kids are, I'll let them hit me. like I'm the big frog. Or if we have a big frog, I'll let them hit it. And then it spawns other frogs and they get excited, they start laughing and they love it. Another way to get the kids involved, I learned this from Dan Grove in Baltimore, Maryland. Big hat tip to him. We do it every year and my kids remember it every year. Hold it in your back pocket. When we get to Chayev Adam Lirodat Atzmo Keilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim, I sing it just like that. They know by that tune. And then we all get up, because we're like we're leaving Mitzrayim, and we run around the whole house like we're leaving Mitzrayim. We gotta go. And we literally get up. It energizes the kids. The adults who are there are like, what are you doing? And they get into it a little bit too. And after a cup of wine or two, you're also into it. If you're an adult, but little, and the kids love it because they actually see. Depending on what town you're in, you might want to. You could even go outside because there's a lot of frumiyin here. You go outside and you run. That's a way to get. You run to the shtiebel, depending on if you're by North East, right? Wherever you are, you could come all the way back, and it's like you're there, or just your basement, or just your house. And the kids remember these things. As an adult, that might sound silly to us. Like I'm running around. My Moshe told me, Abba, I actually feel like I'm leaving Mitzrayim when we run around the house like that. That was huge for me. Now, for an adult, it might take thinking to yourself, I have to leave my personal Mitzrayim. What's leaving my personal Mitzrayim? All the difficulties I have, all the challenges I have in my life. But and you might have to close your eyes when you're running around to do that. Understand? What is the Afikomen? What are we hiding away? The joke, hide the song, hide away the bigger... What are you hiding away inside of yourself that's big? Right? What's inside of you that you need to bring out into the world bigger this year? If you don't train your thoughts, all you're going to have are deeds. So if you carry forward your thoughts and you carry them outward along with the deeds, not only will the kids get into it with the correct, proper, authentic Masorah, but you also will feel more connected and tapped in. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Make sense? So I'm all for getting excited with the kids completely, but you got to do it in the authentic Masorah. Like, if it's a ping pong ball, you're missing the boat. Another thing that I do at my Seder is for my kids.
Throw ice cubes.
But at the same time, you got to do you have a burning hot ice cube that was the size of
Okay.
You know? So it's a challenge for those. But for other things like And the other thing is, you're literally doing it Sipur, right? So for a Seder, it's Sipur Yetzi Mitzrayim. You're telling a story. If you haven't gotten to a place where you're telling the story over, you lost. Meaning, if you don't say by Arov, that the way in which that all of the animals came, like the Maral Diskin says, they brought their climate with them. So when all of the Egyptians were coming out of their door, they didn't realize that there was like a polar bear that then froze the whole tundra right there for them and then mauled them in the face. You go through the whole thing and you can explain it to them in ways that the kids get excited about it just through the storytelling. And if you aren't excited through the storytelling, you're at the wrong Seder. Now again, many of you are single guys and it's not easy to just hop to a Seder that's going to be Geshmaka Seder. And so again, I'll end where I started. Go out of your way to figure out how to be a person who can lead the Seder. Go out of your way to be a person who can make the Seder Geshmak. And the biggest thing is, if you could get to, I couldn't get to this level. I probably still couldn't to this day. But if you can get to a Madriga where no matter what Seder you're at, you yourself felt like you got what you needed to get out of it, that you got to that high level, that high Madriga of Hashem loves me, I get it, but also I get it deeply, I have the Emunah, I understand all of what's going on, and I feel connected, and I feel like I left Mitzrayim. No matter where you are, that's everything. Questions, comments, reactions?
How does one make the other parts of the Seder fun?
Very good.
Engaging, I think.
Very good.
What was the question?
The other parts of the Seder.
How do you make the other parts of the Seder engaging?
Gotcha.
So most of Magid is very... I feel like it's orchestrated in a way for you to do that. So if you're only doing it in Hebrew, you lost the ball. You lost the game. Meaning, you could do like Avdim Avdim Hayinu Hayin, and you get or what? You go Viter, and then you get to the parts where there's singing and excitement and storytelling. You could really do it. I understand you when it's like all of the math at some point with different things and the plagues and this. But if you tell over the story, there's like parts to get excited about. Your kids will sing the Manish Tana. You bring out questions that they're going to have. You answer their questions. You help them out. And you make it story driven. Yeah?
I went over the math today, so I won't have to by the Seder.
Say again?
I went over the math today, so I won't have to by the Seder.
There you go. The biggest piece, it was a hot day in Cairo. You know, you have to craft the story. It was a hot day in Cairo, and there they were. There we were. We were walking outside of our house. You know, mommy just made breakfast, and before we could even get out the door, whack! And then you slam the table really hard, and something spills. On purpose, you do this. Yeah, whatever it is. And you get them involved, and there was the taskmaster ready to take us to where we needed to go. And at different paragraphs, you'll have to see the function of what the paragraph is, and you have to see, can I bring out a story from this? Yeah? And that's how you make it story-driven. And you'll realize, you can see that different parts of the paragraphs that are in the Haggadah link back to the English, you know, Sfarim that are there for all the different pieces of what you're looking for, what you're aiming for, what you're going for. So, to come full circle, and we'll close, we could obviously keep going off the record, is Seder is so crucial to internalizing Emunah. The root message of everything comes back to that Hashem loves you, that there is a Hashem, that He loves you, and that He cares about you. So much so that He does everything for us. Then tie that back to the self-sacrifice. We want to have Mesiras Nefesh, not just when we break the middle matzah of Yachatz, like Yitzchak, but we want to be able to have self-sacrifice in our life. Maybe it's monetarily done through our tuition, maybe it's through other things that we can think about. But when we realize just how much Hashem loves us, how can we not self-sacrifice for Him? How can we not go out of our way, even when it's profoundly challenging? Yeah? So we should be Zocha to gain even just a little bit from the Torah we've shared tonight about Pesach, we should appreciate and love being a Yid. If you don't come out of Seder loving being a Yid, you either went to the wrong Seder or you missed the boat. Rabosai, everybody should have a Geshmaka Seder and a Geshmaka Pesach.